The EU is preparing to overhaul the way tech giants operate in Europe. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. A pair of laws set to be unveiled later today are expected to be the biggest revision in 20 years to the European Union's digital market. They'll zero in on competition rules, require tech platforms to take responsibility for content they host, and create heavy fines for violations. The BBC's Theo Leggett explains what, in practice, these new regulations could mean for tech companies.
Well, what the European Commission's trying to do is update its competition and its digital services framework, because the rules that the EU has for this sort of thing are thoroughly out of date. I mean, they date back to the beginning of the millennium, when the internet was nowhere near as huge as it is today, and many of the issues which have now developed barely existed. So the Digital Services Act will basically set out what is acceptable online and what is not, how to get rid of things like online bullying, hate speech, that kind of thing, the responsibilities of digital services providers. The Digital Markets Act, though, will look at competition. And this is an area where, really, the European Commission has been in conflict with the US giants for quite a while.
Is there a risk of unintended consequences with these new rules, though, Theo? Because, for example, GDPR rules, which were aimed at protecting privacy online, have really just meant that some US companies just don't have big enough operations to comply with the rules, and they just block EU users.
It's an interesting point. What the EU wants to do, particularly with the Competition Act, is to rein in the likes of Apple, Amazon, and Google. It wants to make sure that very large American companies don't use their market power to clamp down on competition from small, niftier startups. There is a risk with this kind of legislation that it can have unintended consequences, but that's why these are proposals. So there will be lobbying, there will certainly be pushback from the tech giants themselves, and we'll have to see what actually comes out.
The BBC's Theo Leggett, thanks so much for your time.
It's a pleasure.
Checking the numbers now, key benchmarks in Europe are little changed this morning as investors weigh the impact of fresh holiday lockdown restrictions in many countries across the region. The pan-European Stoxx 600 index is up 0.2%, and shares of German sportswear giant Adidas are slightly lower this morning after the company confirmed it's looking to potentially sell its Reebok brand. The BBC's Will Bain has more on that.
For years, Reebok was synonymous not just with fashion sneakers, but its links to US sports culture. And it was that particular route to gain further ground in the American market and compete with its great rival Nike that first prompted Adidas to make its $3.8 billion buy of Reebok back in 2005. But it hasn't worked out. Reebok's decline, including the loss of its official licensing deal with the NBA, to Nike of all people, has meant the brand has become a drag and a distraction, failing to turn a profit until 2018. So the pressure has been on for some time to cut it loose, even though the expected sale price is rumoured to be around just $2 billion. Adidas says a final decision on any sale will be announced in March next year. In London, I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
France has eased its second lockdown, which it declared at the start of last month, while the Netherlands has announced its toughest coronavirus restrictions to date that start today. Here in the UK, though, London and other parts of southern England will move into the highest tier of coronavirus restrictions starting at midnight. While schools, essential and non-essential retail, gyms and salons will remain open, pubs and restaurants will have to close, except for takeout and delivery. The group UK Hospitality says these new restrictions could lead to a more than $3 billion hit to the capital city's hospitality industry alone and put 160,000 jobs at risk. David Burgess, co-founder of the Fugitive Motel Brew Pub in East London, says he's disappointed but cautiously optimistic.
The whole of this year, with the lockdowns, etc., we've been very, very proactive in diversifying our offering and pivoting quickly into different streams of revenue through takeaway third-party platforms, running a local drinks delivery service. Most recently, along the frontage, we've been selling Christmas trees, which has been a really nice feel over the last 3 weeks. So this time, with January now on the horizon, not being able to close for New Year's Eve, we're taking a slightly different approach. And we're going to actually do what I think many other hospitality businesses have done over the course of the year. And we've not until now. But that is absolutely close the business down, strip back every single cost that we can.
You talk about all of these investments that you've made throughout the year to try and pivot the business to survive. Do you think all that investment has really been worth it for you? Do you think that will save your business, in other words, by the time this is all over?
It absolutely will, but it's looking at it on that long-term basis. Obviously, if we look at it over the next 3 months, it's definitely going to be challenging, but that's why we're taking the approach of just stripping out every cost possible.
Earlier this year, the government unveiled a furlough scheme to allow employees to receive up to 80% of their pay during lockdown when they're not working. Will those assistance programs be available, and what is your plan for your staff?
We want to protect good people, and we've done that throughout March until now. As I'm sure many businesses have, you know, we have just within the last 3 weeks recruited some really great new people. And it's going to be very difficult to have to say to those people that over the coming weeks, you will have to go onto the furlough scheme and there won't be any work for you.
So the restrictions come in tonight at midnight. That means today is your last day to welcome people inside. Are people planning to come until closing time?
Yes, we did have a few bookings in this midweek anyway. So I think there's going to be a really nice festive feel. Our Christmas playlist will certainly be rocking. I think it will be a really nice opportunity for everybody to have one last trip out before we wave goodbye to 2020.
One last hurrah. David Burgess, the co-founder of the Fugitive Motel in East London. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you for your time. Cheers.
Well, it's not just the holiday season these new lockdowns are threatening, but an annual winter festival in Japan is set to be called off for the first time in its 70-year history due to a surge in COVID-19 infections. Featuring an international ice sculpture contest, the Sapporo Snow Festival, held every February, attracts up to 2 million visitors. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.